Blog Talk Radio.
If you really are honest with yourself, ladies, and you look in the mirror and you really, really are being reasonable, you know we're better.
Écoutez, à midi.
Transmitting live from Mars, Jovi P, Shay James, Midwest V. We in the building. It is. What's today's date? Today's the 8th. March 8th.
8th of March.
8th of March.
2021.
And we are embarking on anniversary of the day. Everything changed as we know it. Was it officially? We talked about this last year. It was officially like the weekend of the 12th of last year, I believe, or something like that. 12th or 13th or some shit. Yeah,
something like that.
So we're something like that. So we're walking up on that year mark right now, and it seems like niggas in Atlanta this weekend felt like this was last year. Yeah.
They didn't give a
Hey, man. I ain't even mad at it. Only because I just like to see where this is going to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there's going to be no spike in numbers or whatever.
No.
Because I'm telling you,
the divide
is on the way, fam. I was listening to satellite radio. I was listening to XM today. And they were saying the CDC has now updated their guidelines, saying if you've been vaccinated, you can hang out inside with other people that's been vaccinated also. They didn't say if you had to wear a mask or anything like that, but the divide is on the way, fam. I'm letting you guys know now. If you didn't already, if you didn't know already,
point,
the divide is
point,
on the way. I'm telling you.
And to that point, they also said that if, so say you're vaccinated and I'm not, and I get sick, and you come in contact with me, that you are to go about your daily business until you either show symptoms or whatever, but like you don't have
just
to,
like
you know what I mean? Like,
anyway, right? Just like we've been doing anyway.
Essentially.
Right?
But it's different now because, like, before it was like, okay, nobody had a vaccine and I got sick and we was all chilling. You know,
right,
you two would have to
quarantine. Right, because
right.
You've been in contact. Right. Now, I get it. I understand the difference, but I was poking
but
fun
it
at
just,
the difference.
It just,
you know what I'm saying?
No, I know. But, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy because, like, they were like, even if, which is fucking nuts. But they're like, even if you like show symptoms, you don't even have to go to the doctor or nothing. You just go on about your business.
Because they're so sure this shit is going to kill it off. This shit is going to fight it off.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hey, I felt that way anyway.
Weird shit.
You know what I mean?
That's just weird.
I felt that way anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say this, and then we're gonna have to change subjects because when I say this, I may hear some buzzwords. I'm just waiting for I'm just waiting for niggas to start selling the vaccination cards. That's all I'm waiting on.
All right.
You know what's going to happen sooner or later. Somebody will get their hands on them somewhere. The template, and it's going to start circulating. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
If it's not already.
You know, but that's, I understand that if you're going to, he's going to probably, I don't know if they're going to have some national registry. You got to look it up if you're trying to fly or if they're going to try to put restrictions on things like that. Just if they're saying, like, I can't go.
They're already kicking that idea around.
I know they are. But they can't do that shit.
The fucking vaccine passport.
Violating niggas' rights or whatever like that. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
Nah, it's called the vaccine passport, bro.
It's going to be a vaccine passport?
That's the colloquialism that they're using right now.
Okay.
So essentially, there's going to be certain countries that if you show them proof that you had the vaccination or that you gone through certain stages of the vaccination, they're going to go ahead and you don't have to quarantine or nothing like that. You can go about your fucking business.
Yeah.
Wow. Yo, you know what? Real talk, my nigga. These motherfuckers going to force me and my family to move to Africa and just say, fuck all this shit. Straight up.
I sincere.
Nah, nigga.
You
have no idea the move my wife has been on. She has been hard body researching all kinds of countries out there that, you know, progressively developing and already developed that niggas could fucking, you know, just jump right in and you know, hit the ground running out there. So, I think I'm joking when I say it, but they're going to really force our hand because we ain't with the shits, man. Like, you know, we not with the shits, my nigga. Bottom line. That's just what it is. Like, it may come to that. We've really been contemplating what we're going to do if they really try to drop the hammer on creating this new America, or this new world order, basically. You know what I'm saying? If they really push it and nothing stops it, like, I'm waiting for the pendulum to swing in the other direction eventually, because the momentum has been going in their favor for fucking 500 years. It's like, okay, when is it going to be an equalizer effect?
When is enough enough?
Yeah, when? When?
Never.
I can't believe that, my nigga.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just telling you that like it's almost like a scientific question. When is enough enough, right? And the answer to that question is never. It's just like, you know, Rabbi Carr used to always ask in church, would a man rob God? Yeah, when given the opportunity to. You know what I'm saying? And so like, when enough is enough, like, no, it's never going to be enough, right? I mean, hence the reason why we are where we are today. Hence the reason we're even talking about a vaccine passport.
They want absolute control. That's what it all boils down to. Absolute control.
Oh.
Well, it's not that kind of show tonight, folks, but hey, that we got to still talk about what's relevant right now. Coming to America 2 dropped over the weekend, and there was a lot of people that tried to get in front of this movie's ratings and shit on it because, you know, is that a problem that we have as a people that we just got to try to find a way to hate? I mean, it is a problem that we have as a people. We just got to find a way to hate on every and anything just to be different, just to stand out. Just to be the first one to say, I ain't like it. The overall resounding response is the same. Then they're going to feel validated in their, you know, in their analysis. You know, but it's like, yo, just pull back, nigga. Like, just enjoy the movie. Like, what?
All right.
We'll talk about that after the break. Talking about that, I made a typo in there. And I put Silky Sonic, but it's Silk Sonic. Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak They put out a project with the band is called Silk Songs that they doing the shit with, right? Yes, no,
I think so,
maybe
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
think
yeah.
So. Okay.
Think so, yeah.
Okay, so you know they're on their mint condition shit right now with their you know live instruments creating the sound that's you can hear the panties dropping across the country right now when the song plays. The shit is gold. I ain't gonna front. I didn't listen to the whole project, but you know what I've heard from it is very appealing to the grown ear. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have grown taste to appreciate this project. And also a weekend went down this past weekend. You know, did they get it right with this new format, or was it just something they had to, a Mod Podge shit they had to put together in order to appeal to the COVID restrictions and guidelines of, you know, having, you know, all the moving pieces as a normal All-Star weekend would entail? So we're going to talk about that and, you know, amongst other things, too. And, you know, this is what the Monday show always has to bring to you. With that being said, we won't get into the Silk Sonic yet. We'll save that for that topic. But we'll get into some, you know, some normal running shit that we do. And I see we got Young Balco on hold over there. We got you, bro. We about to take this break, and then we gonna come right back to discussed in greater detail what the fuck was all the hate on Coming to America 2 for no reason. We don't know, but we'll be right back.
And I'm actually going to get right into it. And you really want to know how. You know, how can I blaze my own path? How can I be successful? How can I follow the path that someone else has laid for me to be successful?
Sitting on deuces while the blunt burn. Still raping rap music because I want more. All money in, yeah, it's just us four. It's just Cobby, it's just Harvey, it's just Rempo. It's just Adam, it's just Black Sam and both the Fats. Where your 600 bands, where your Rovers at? Where your Cuban links, nigga, where your rollies at? Where your big booty bad bitches stay with posters at? Where you hustle, where you run from the police at? Where you ever represented hope, where the hopeless at? Where you had to take an oath before you sold the sack? Dealt with all the pressure, played it like you never noticed that. Amongst it all, put yourself on the map. Turn it to a booming operation, where your focus at? Where your 600 bins, where your Rovers at? Where your Cuban link, nigga, where your rollie at? I would rather shoot before I run. Pressure on my shoulder when it's done. You should try and do what we done. Make $1 million while you young. I would rather shoot before I run. Pressure on my shoulder when it's done. You should try and do what we done. Make $1 million while you young.
So if you could tell us how exactly and what deal you did to make your first $1 million.
I can tell you niggas how I came up. Similar to climbing out the grave, huh? Can't be acting like a bitch trying to get saved, bruh. Get that dirt up off your shoulder, step your game up. Can't be chasing pussies with your ways up. Can't be fucking off your loot, you gotta save up. So you gon' probably fail trying to play us. Streets ain't for everybody, get your grades up. Ain't about your money, you just looking for a stage, huh? And all that stunting put a bullet in your brain, huh? Stupid ass nigga, you can't fade up. Niggas like, who even raised cuz? Where you come from? Where you get your name from? You was in the house, not with the runaway slaves, huh? You was never in the spot when they raid, huh? You ain't really bought it, little nigga, this a fade, huh? I would rather shoot before I run. Pressure on my shoulder when it's done. You should try and do what we done. Make $1 million while you young. I would rather shoot before I run. Pressure on my shoulder when it's done. You should try and do what we done. Make $1 million while you young.
Tell me why you mad, bro. Tell me why you mad. I know to you it looks easy.
Tell me why you mad, bro. Tell me why you mad.
This shit ain't easy, believe me. Tell me why you mad.
ain't the type of games you niggas play. West side to the west side, Atlanta until I die. Fuck with my nigga Nipsey, best believe a nigga go ride.
Not 15. Pardon the gravel. Not 15, we are back. I also wanted to make mention, trending live from Mars 914-219-0866. Is number two dial, JVP, Midwest Z. I'm your boy, Save James. We got Young Balco waiting in the wings. We're going to bring him in the conversation in a second. I just want to make mention also the fact that this Megan, the royal family shit being put out there, whatever, with, you know, with Agent Oprah. And I mean, but like, are we really surprised?
No.
Like,
you shouldn't.
Are we really surprised? Because, hey, I mean,
no,
we know, like,
no.
This is, you know, like, is it really a bombshell that a half-black late young lady that looks better than probably all of their family wrapped in one? You know, Princess Di was cool. She was cute. I give her that. She was a good-looking white woman. I give her that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
for sure,
once they killed her, it's like, you know, ain't nobody over there was really hitting for nothing. It was just like blatant jealousy and, you know, sheer racism that was going to be causing any kind of uncomfortable situation for whenever he brought her home. He knew what the fuck was going to happen. She knew what the fuck was going to happen. You know, that whole country is built off the backs of racism.
That's where our
racism comes from.
That's
right.
My point. We learn from them.
Yep.
They're the original races.
And they really had a hard time with her dealing with all the humanitarian stuff with the Africans. And because if you remember, on one of her interviews, she always talked about, they want me to slow down. They don't want me to do this. They don't want me to do that. Blah, 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 blah.
I mean, I'm be honest with you, my nigga, I ain't pay attention to none of her interviews because, you know, none of that shit maddened me. That
whole
family shit is all,
sure,
it's all the show.
I'm talking about, like, after she was dead, like, and they were doing, like, you know, like, the look back at, you know, Princess Diana and all her stuff like that. But they were never fans of that. You ever notice? It was just her. It was never her husband with her, ever. Ever.
Well, I deal with the poor people.
Like,
right. That shit don't surprise me none. I don't understand. That's what I was, and this is what I'm saying. Expectations. This is a perfect segue inside topic. I know Young Balco over there had to change his drawers about two hours ago when he found out Dak got his money. Good for you and your team. He boxed Jerry Jones into a corner. And he made him pay him that bread when he didn't want to. Good for Dak. Good for Dak. He got 126 guaranteed.
I don't really have any emotions towards the outside. I'm glad that another black man became a multimillionaire.
Black man got money.
10 times over.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That I mean, he had money off the field from. Yeah, he had money off the field from his endorsements, but, you know, to get it from. This is security for the team that you can put so much on the floor for. I mean, unlike your quarterback and other quarterbacks, this dude was a fourth rounder and came in and took somebody's job and played to the best of his ability. I mean, he's done pretty damn good for what he's had thrown in front of him. And, you know, to be able to come in as a fourth rounder, I think he was making like $600,000 his first year. I think last year he was only making like $850,000 and broke his leg. So, for him to be able to go get that four-year deal like he wanted, you know, what is it, 4 years? I think it's 125 guaranteed. So, it's like 30.
Yeah, four years, like 160. 4 years, 160, 126 guaranteed.
Right. So, you know, breaking that down, most people think that he's taking home that, you know, breaking that. He's probably walking away with a good 40, which is still better than nothing. But just glad to see the man put so much on the line for the team and then finally get his money. Back to the subject.
He deserves it.
Back to the subject. Man, this Meghan Markle, I'm just surprised he's still alive. Anybody that knows that part of Europe, they play no games, especially with niggas. They make niggas disappear like it ain't nothing.
Say that again.
Nobody. They make niggas disappear like it ain't nothing. Nobody asks questions. Like the same thing, the same nigga in the house or in the kingdom was Prince Andrews, who was videoed having sex with multiple children, is still a part of the parliament. He still has
right.
his job. He still has his title. Like, these niggas have been atrocious. I'm trying to figure out why America and the rest of the world are trying to figure out, or is playing, act like they don't know that these niggas have been atrocious for thousands of years. They're not going to change. They're going to keep doing the fuck they want to do. So the fact that Megan's on TV with Oprah, who's another one that'll bend over for the master, you know. But I don't want to get the phone lines blessed and, you know, turn red because that's something about Almighty.
No, but, absolutely not. I mean, dope. That's common vernacular over here. We know that. We just have to deal with the glitches as they roll. That's it. You know what I'm saying? We know we say a lot of buzzwords on here. You know, we're going to garner a lot of attention from the watchdog sometimes, whether people like to believe it or not. You can't convince me otherwise. But no, we definitely know Oprah's an agent too, so that's why they got her to do it, because they know she'll open up to Oprah. You know what I mean? And we all know how to play us for that. But that goes to my question of expectations, and like I said, we can use that to segue into the Coming to America thing. What did she like? I mean, from the outside looking in, if you know that these are the original plantation drivers, you know what I'm saying? The countries like Jamaica just got free from their rule in the 60s, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. 1960s. They got free from British rule in the 1960s. So these are the original colonists. You know what I'm saying? So we know what their archetype is. Like, that's no secret. But what did she expect? Did she expect to be accepted when they've been taught and believed in the whole framework of they're superior and everybody else is inferior to them? Did she really expect to be accepted because she's half white?
I don't think it was so much that.
Go ahead, Jovi.
I don't think it was so much that. I think what people have to kind of understand and have to realize is, like, you got to know which royal you're dealing with. So, you know, if you look back at as far as Princess Diana's children, you know, we're going to call him H because I don't really care for his name. But H, he's always been the one that kind of just marched to the beat of his own drum. Like, he did his most to try to distance himself from the family. I think he kind of understands what type of people and what type of environment he's been around. He definitely, and it's a family, it's no family secret as far as, you know, the mom getting off. So I think he's always kind of moved with that sense of urgency or with that mindset, like, all right, this ain't me. You know, he joined the fucking Royal Military, for God's sake. Like, he went to Afghanistan. I don't know how cushy his detail was when he was there. But, you know, they made, like, he got his hands dirty a little bit. So, good for him. So, I mean, for it to be him and her, I don't see no one else in the royal family that would have, you know, even taking that plunge. So he's fully aware, and I think she was fully aware. Like, all right, look, we're going to have to go off the grid. We're not going to really be able to, you know, in order for us to get the freedom that we truly want, we're going to have to let go of this shit that everybody was so hell-bent on recognizing and throwing parades and making memes about. Like, we gotta go be regular. It's like some Disney shit. Like, we gotta go be regular now.
I agree. Expectations, though. So we obviously don't believe that she should have expected anything different. So we're gonna put that subject to bed. You know, it's unfortunate that she got to deal with this shit, but I mean, hey, zebra don't change the stripes, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, zebra don't change the stripes. Coming to America, I'm just really like I said at the top of the show, I was really just kind of thrown about the way how people were just so quick to just dismiss it because it wasn't better than the first one. Hello, McFly. That shit was over 30 years ago when that joint came out. And there's no way you should have went into that viewing with expectations to even hold a match to that motherfucker. That's just where my disdain for the whole back and forth about it comes from. Did y'all really think it was gonna usurp Coming to America's place in, let alone pop culture, just in movie history, in the history of film? Like, that's a like instant classic. 33 years later, you could still watch that shit from beginning to end. You may turn it off once you know they're going back to Africa and you're going to marry her. But up until the part where he denounces his kingdom on the train, you probably still going to watch that shit. And that's the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And you're laughing.
And you're laughing still. Up until the part where she's like, go on, honey. Take a chance. Up until then,
oh, that shit.
That's my cue where I'm like, okay, the movie's over. That was the last memorable quote of this movie. Movie's over from here.
Yeah.
And that's like 15 minutes into the movie. Movie's only an hour and a half.
I think a lot of people are, especially our people, we're so hell bent on the next best thing. And we tend to look at our own things through the lens of white people. And what I mean when I say that is, if it doesn't move the meter in the way that the world likes it, or the world is fixated on it. It's like Rhapsody said on the new joint, on the new Fight the Power joint. She said, you love Black Panther, but you hate Fred Hammond. And if you look at that bar, you know what she's saying. You know, you love the movie, imaginary movie.
But you ain't really about that life.
That ability. Right, but you really hate us on the low. So us getting back to Coming to America, the first one was such a blockbuster hit that we were just expecting Eddie and the cast to just come and just do the shit again. It's like, you know, looking at the dunk contest. I'll take the dunk contest as an example. You see a lot of people that have never dunked a basketball in their fucking life commenting about how boring the dunk contest. That aggravates the fuck out of me. This is why it aggravates
Malco, I can agree with you 110% of that. And we all have the same common friend, well, we use that word lightly, or associate, that has the opinionated stances on sports that require you to run full speed ahead for extended periods of time. And looking at this motherfucker, you know the only thing he runs full speed ahead to is to the hot dogs, nigga. That's the only thing he runs full speed ahead to.
Let me bring it back home.
You and your stomach, nigga. Go sit down somewhere. I know you never play no real sports.
Right. Ever.
But it's, you look at how black people look at that. Black people think about it. If you're not jumping out of the fucking arena and standing on the field and then coming back and dunking, it's an unsatisfactory for black people. I think with coming to America, the bar was set so high that if it wasn't reaching anywhere near that, it was going to be a flop. And in my opinion, you know, with so much blackness on TV, we're not appreciating the fact that Eddie got his billionaire ass off of his couch and decided to give us another treat.
And give us
and to just, you know, it takes niggas forget, it takes a long time to make a movie like that. Yeah, James Earl Jones, John Amos, nobody knew they were going to be alive 30 years from the last movie.
Thank you.
To have all
be able to
together.
Still recreate
Vanessa,
this magic.
Vanessa Bell Calloway. Lisa Headley? Isn't that the chick that plays his wife, who plays the American Queen?
Right.
All these legends, you know, Arsenio Hall, the shit that he's been through the last 30 years, to see that he's still alive and well, still telling jokes and shit like that. Wesley Snipes says, a lot of legends are put together. Granted, it was an all-star cast, it was an all-world cast that he had. We can't appreciate this production, man.
I'm gonna read something to you guys, and we're gonna go to break. I don't know if you guys saw this, but somebody posted on Facebook also over the weekend the original review that somebody wrote about this shit. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's gonna take too long. But the part that bothered me the most is this one paragraph here. It says, and I quote, "The sharp but unworldly king selects queen as a natural site to select a bride. He's looking for a queen, get it? Although that grungy borough may be inherently funny, parentheses, if you don't live there, the site selection peaks as a one-line verbal gag. Coming to America misses its vast potential by languishing in a locale that should have been a throwaway laugh or, at most, a short interlude. By using this humdrum setting as the comic core, Murphy is stripped of his opportunity to bounce off of a worthy cultural opponent." Listen to these words. "A worthy cultural opponent. Murphy versus Manhattan, like Murphy versus Beverly Hills, would have been a hilarious escalating standoff. The wild and ripe potential for social satire is completely dropped at the start." So you mean to tell me that the only way he can get a true American experience of culture differences is if he hung around some high-nosed white, some highbrow whitey?
But he got more money than they do.
But he got a whole fucking country to rest on, but he has to go. But see, and the thing about it though, Z, is the part about it that pissed me off about that is because what this writer wanted to see was him being looked at and treated and him acting as an inferior to the highfalutin white society. Like, he don't know how to eat with forks or some shit like that. All he know how to do is eat with hands. He can't speak sentences that have a subject and subject-verb agreement, subject and predicate agreement, with the correct propositional phrases and conjunctions involved. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't have been able to quote Nietzsche to nobody out there if he was in bed. You know what I'm saying? That's the way he wanted the writers to project Eddie as some dim-witted, stumbled upon luck because I'm a king's son motherfucker right there.
a spear chucker. They basically wanted them to coon out and be a spear chucker. Like,
that's
don't
it.
Have no type of class, don't have no type of
nothing.
Dignity.
Like, you couldn't, they couldn't be a cultural clash between him being a black royalty and just, you know, regular niggas in the hood. That's a culture clash in itself, and that he highlighted that to the T. Yo, this is what I'm saying, man. It's like, I don't know, my niggas. Like, I really don't know. I really don't know what people were expecting to get from this, but that's what it all boiled down to. Like, what did you expect this to be 30 fucking years later, Sam?
I didn't even look at the movie as a sequel. Like, I didn't even look at it as a sequel. I almost looked at the movie as like it was a reboot, yeah.
It was a reboot. Bottom line, it was a reboot. Niggas ain't say nothing about Halloween when that shit came out. Jamie Lee Curtis had white hair. Feel me?
Facts.
Fuck out of here, yo.
They
like,
ain't say nothing.
You hear what I'm saying, Falco? Like, these niggas be wildin'.
They redid Spider-Man three times.
Three times with three different people. On a first run at Spider-Man, a first getting his powers type shit.
If you remember, Next Friday got bad reviews when it first came out. You remember that?
But it wasn't that.
Yeah.
You have that. That's one of the movies, though. I'll say that, though. I wouldn't watch it when it first came out. Close enough. It was 5 years later. Close enough that it should have. I thought it was going to resemble something like it, but it went in a new direction with Day Day. So I had to get used to that. Second or third time I watched it, I was good with it. First time I was kind of disappointed myself,
right,
too, in the beginning. I'm not even going to lie about that.
But is the disease that similar? Because you have high expectations based off the first one.
Well, I mean, the thing is this, though, back with what I'm saying, is it was close enough. 5 years is a large gap, but it was still close enough that, you know, there wasn't a lot of dust on Friday yet.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? It wasn't syndicated on holiday season yet.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
But you have to also consider
kind of
technology. You got to consider
what?
Technology at the time, too. Like, so, and that was one of the things that people were arguing about. It was like, oh, well, you know, the movie this, and then with the CGI and everything. Like, and that's the common thread that I've seen when relating to the movie itself was the fact that it was just that. It was like, remember this person? They're still alive. Look at them go ahead and do this.
Right.
You know, watch them do that 1-2 thing with this acting shit. Like, the shit would happen with James Earl Jones. That shit was so clutch, bro. Like, I'm going to die now. And just
nigga
die,
said I'm
going to
die
right
now. Right. It just went on off. It went on home.
Right.
It went on home.
And the song, but the parallel, like we had talked about, the parallel was so crazy because you got Gladys Knight. Gladys Knight in the back singing, you know, taking the midnight change, like, we singing the song. We singing the song about methods. And the background singing, nothing.
Yeah, what is the point? Nigga said, what's the point?
Right,
what's really
the point? Right. Yo.
Yeah.
Yo, that's
yo,
why like,
there was so, there was so much
the
subliminal
comedic
humor
genius
in there. Like,
yo,
Duke and Duke shit in the beginning.
Right.
The Duke and Duke shit in the
right
beginning had me from the jump. That was one of my favorite parts, the Duke and Duke scene. You know what I mean? But, again, you know, niggas just want to be different. Niggas want to be at the front of the line saying, being the loudest in the room. And, you know, that's what it boils down to, man. Niggas need to just chill, man. Appreciate greatness when you see it, man. Anyway, we talked way too long about this shit. 9:40. We want to take a break. We'll address Silk Sonic, this song right here. They have these doors open. And then we're going to get into the NBA All-Star Weekend in Atlanta. We'll be right back, y'all.
9:44 Eastern, 8:44 Central. We transmitting live from Mars. I'm Joe VP. DNS the nigga save James. Midwest East Omaha, 914-219-0866. Press 1 to engage in the conversation. Kind of like Young Balco did. Always appreciated, always a blessing to, you know, have you join us on Ed. Pause. Moving forward with the show, it didn't quite really, it just didn't really have the same all-star game energy. I don't know if this is just post-COVID, you know, them trying to make the best of the situation considering, you know, the limitations socially and, you know, based on just the culture and just the overall paranoia that comes along with COVID-19. It was an abbreviated week. We got the All-Star game, and then halftime show was basically the three-point contest and the dunk contest. Three-point contest first. Can we admit that Dale created Steph in a fucking lab? Like,
he had to.
This motherfucker was like...
Yeah.
Oh, I need 28.
He took some stem cells out of his wrist and created Steph from it.
Yes. Because Del Kirby's jumper was money. He didn't even jump. And Del was tall. Del was like, what, 6'6", 6'7"? He wasn't
yeah,
no little
was,
dude.
Yeah.
Pause.
You
know
yeah,
what
he saying? Was like 6'7".
He was like 6'7". So he didn't have to jump high to get the shot up. But his shit was money. Like, if you saw Del Kirby play, you knew when he shot, that shit was going in half the time. I believe
yeah,
he,
no
that was, yes. I believe he took whatever stem cells
yeah.
was in that right hand, that right wrist, and he built Steph. The kid is unreal.
That shit wasn't even. Shit was crazy. And
was
then
unreal.
The shocker for the dunk contest, like Anthony Simons from the fucking Blazers, who I had no idea even could dunk a basketball, let alone had the
hops.
Bunnies that he displayed.
That nigga has hops. That nigga got hot. But I will say this. I think Obi should have won it, though. That's just my
He definitely should have.
I think Obi got robbed. I think he should have won.
I don't know, man.
Not to say that was last name Anthony Simon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to say that he didn't do his job. He didn't show up to compete.
But you
got to
remember,
jumping over two niggas.
You lose points on those attempts, man.
I get it.
You got to remember
when
that.
He executed it, it was clean. He jumped
I
over
get
two
that,
niggas
but it
with a
matter.
Hit. No, you
only.
But this, you can only, mean, but Z, this dude, I'm telling you this as a former dunker. Like, I was in dunk contests before. Cuffing the ball on a dunk is hard enough, pause. But when you win
yeah,
them
yeah, look.
Over
Absolutely.
Two people, that's
no, no,
not
look,
that's
I,
not easy.
I'm not, listen, that, see, but that's not my point. My point is that
Amen.
According to the rules, right, every time you make an attempt, you automatically lose certain points. So you could never get a perfect score if you attempted it and miss it once. Technically, you
he wouldn't
can't.
Have got a perfect score if he made it the first time. Yeah, I don't believe he would.
If he made it the first, look, yo, if he made it the first time, he'd have got 50.
Straight nigga, that's a tough dunk to make, yo.
Hell yeah! I mean,
windmills are hard enough to make. Cuff dunks are hard to make. And to combine
over,
the two,
on top, over two people,
oh, jumping over
yeah.
two people, no. that's.
Yeah.
That shit ain't easy, man.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think it's a bit like the whole thing with Dwight when he was winning the fucking dunk contest? It's like they tend to be a little more lenient to a shorter dunker.
Well,
go ahead, Dave.
I'm thinking of a response. They don't give a lot of love. They don't give a lot of love to tall dunkers because Stromile Swift, he dealt with a lot. He was doing some pretty acrobatic dunks at 6'10", but they were like, nigga, you 6'10". How acrobatic of a dunk can you really make? You know what I'm saying? Same shit with JaVale McGee. When he dunked on two different rims at the same time. Like, like, nigga... That shit ain't easy, but I get it. They have extra, you know, range with how they were created. So I guess they I don't know. Maybe so. But Obi ain't no 6'10" though, is he?
Close.
He like 6'8".
Really?
6'9". Yeah, he ain't short.
Okay, yeah, I know, but I didn't think he was, like, you know, damn near 7 feet. I mean, but that's still, I don't know, my nigga. I don't know. I feel some kind of way. I mean, shit, Vince Carter was 6'6". So was Mike. So was Kobe. Them niggas
yeah,
all won.
He's 6'9".
Oh, okay.
6'9", 220. 6'9", 220.
Didn't OB do the college dunk contest last year?
I don't know. You got me on that one. I really don't follow the college dunk contest like that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. For Dayton. Yes, he did.
Okay. Well, needless to say, that was a boring dunk contest. Glad to see that there was an unnamed individual, or I say rather a lesser known individual in the NBA that actually walked away with it.
So we were watching that, and the only reason why I said he was going to win was because I remember watching the combine, and I remember his vertical, and I remember them talking about his wingspan, because he's not that tall. He's like 6'4", but like he has the wingspan of like 7'1" or some shit like
he
that.
He gotta be a little taller than 6'4". Cause I'm about 6'3" and change, nigga. I'm basically 6'4" if you round up. And that nigga look taller than me, son.
What was his first
name?
He
got me taller than 6'4". Anthony.
Penny Hardaway.
If that ain't some black ass name for your ass right there, though.
Buddy, I told
Anthony.
He's 6'4". He's 6'4"?
Jesus Christ, that boy has hops.
That's what I'm saying.
Out of this world.
So that's how I knew. I was like, oh, I've seen this kid before, and it clicked in my head from the fucking combine. Yo, the nigga jumped. Yo, his vertical was like 48 and a half. So something stupid.
Fucking Christ.
Yo, don't dunk at all.
Boy, jumping that high.
He don't dunk at all.
I'm trying to tell you. That's why when we seen him last night, I was like, oh, this kid is here? Oh, he going to win it. Because I knew from the combine. I swear to God. And it just so happens that literally I was watching it, and he was like the next one up. And boom. And I'll never forget his vertical straight from the ground. So I was like 48 and a half. I said, oh, my God. Holy shit. But they kept talking about his wingspan. That's what they kept saying. They were like,
do you guys think that they should start, like, taking points away or not scoring as high for niggas that go underneath their legs, pause, with the dunk? Like, ever since J.R. Ryder introduced that, it's like, you know,
I don't
it's
think
like,
they should take
I,
points off. I don't think they should take points off.
It shouldn't be as impactful, I should say.
I'll say this.
Maybe I'm wrong for that because I've never been able. I've never tried to dunk between my legs like that. Because by the time I stopped. No, seriously, I'm looking at it like this. By the time I stopped, like, you know, playing above the rim, and I developed like an actual, you know, mid-range game, that dunking between the legs shit was like an anomaly. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was
right.
For the J.R. Riders, and it was for the Kobe Bryant, and it was for the Jason Richardsons of the world. Like, it wasn't as commonplace.
Right.
It was in, you know what it was in? It was, what was the game that was on, it was a game that was on Dream, it was the first NBA 2K that was on Dreamcast, where if you put on arcade mode, Mark Jackson could dunk under his legs, nigga.
Everybody can dunk, nigga. I remember that shit.
Because I was running with the Indiana Pacers when that game came out. Because him, Travis Best, and Jalen Rose, oh, forget about it. I was bodying niggas with that backcourt.
And I stand corrected because I was looking up, doing the research. His combine jump was 46 and a half, excuse me.
Oh.
Not like that takes much, but it was 46.
Yeah, not me,
I mean,
exactly, nigga.
Yeah, I mean, 46, that's, Jesus
fucking,
Christ.
That nigga got hops, B. They got super hops.
Bunnies, straight bunnies.
Super hops.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's why I picked. But I will say this, though, to that through the legs, though. I feel like if anyone can leap over someone and either put it through the legs or underneath their body, like in the Gordon style, you know, because
yeah,
Gordon,
got,
you got to think about it. My man
that was
literally sitting He was literally sitting in the air.
Sitting down in the air. And yes, that
in
was Howie
air,
Roberts.
Right?
That was Howie Roberts.
With the put the ball underneath of him and still had enough wherewithal to dunk the ball efficiently, son. Like,
yeah, no.
It wasn't no question.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was a flush.
No,
get out of here.
That dunk looked like he's done that before. You know
and,
what I'm saying?
You know what?
He did it so well.
No one should have ever.
It like he's done
after
that.
No one, after that dunk, no one should have ever even had another try. And that's my wholehearted opinion. After that, what else? What can you do?
Nigga,
like,
the dunk
like,
before
like,
that.
Like Bosco said.
Hold on.
Like Bosco said.
Z, stop, yeah. Stop. The dunk before that, where the fucking mascot was on the hoverboard spinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he
yeah.
scooped it.
Grabbed the joint.
Grabbed it, did the Karl Malone mailman, and
right.
360'd it.
Right. That was, like, that was, yes.
That's a
but
showstopper.
But to sit down in midair, but sitting down
you know,
in midair.
I know, I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree with you on
oh,
that.
Oh, my.
God. I totally.
This should
that's
have never been another attempt made that entire evening. They should have said, we're done. Here's your championship.
There's no way.
Game is over.
There's no way.
No one can compete.
There's no way. There's no way Zach LaVine should have won. And I fuck with Zach LaVine because he's playing well for the Bulls right now. There's no way he should have won that dunk contest. No way at all.
Only thing he could have done better was literally jumped to the top of the backboard, landed on 2 feet, and then dunked the ball. There's all, otherwise, you can't even you,
nigga,
you cannot
that nigga had to have
that.
Flubber. That nigga had to have flubber on his shoes to do that shit, nigga.
How do you beat that? How do you beat that dunk?
That nigga need a flubber, son.
Yo.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
So, yay or nay, did the NBA get it right for the COVID restrictions for the game, or was it too exhausting at the end of the game?
It was a little exhausting.
And then your captains didn't really play. I mean, of course, Kevin Durant had the injury. So, you know, of course, he was just a captain because he had the votes. He couldn't, he wasn't cleared to play. And LeBron only played something like 12 minutes or some shit like that. So,
yeah.
What'd you feel about Giannis?
A lot of the guys, hey, yo, if only he played like his 2K self all the time. Like, that
that's
shit was fucking crazy.
16 for 16. 35 points, 16 for 16, and he hit 2 threes.
Yeah. Yeah, after he jacked that one, pause. After he jacked that 1 3 off the glass, I was like, "Yo, that was the only shot." I was like, "Ooh, they go that streak." And then joined glass in. I was like, "Yeah, he don't play the rest of the game. Like, don't even pass." They started icing him out. I was like, "Look, we're not even passing you the ball the rest of the
game." Like, we want you to land on both feet with those stats, nigga. Land on both feet with those. Easy. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's your show for tonight. We'll be back Wednesday, and then next week we will be gracing you all with our beautiful faces for our 200th episode. Stay tuned for more details on that. 200, nigga.
Two out of three of us. Two out of three of us are handsome. I'm one of them.
That's up for y'all to decide. Would you say, Joe? At least I know I'm one of them. I know I'm one of them, right?
Yeah.
Nigga, dumb. We see y'all Wednesday.
All right. Yeah.
My mind state for like the crime in the summertime. Higher than average. Lot of cabbage. Thank God I never abide by the established guidelines to keep niggas inside a fabric. Commissioned by the state, I skate by the masters like Yoo-hoo with a new riding passenger. Shout out Oak Cliff, I'm about to fly to Dallas. Decade from now, I might just buy the Mavericks. What up, Mark Cuban? I am only part human, half man, half amazing. Plus, I'm good at math like I'm Asian.
Hate to use stereotypes, but that's light compared to what a nigga get from Caucasians. No race baiting, treat the beat like PlayStation. Reporting to you live from the International Space Station. I probably vacation on Mars. The flow is out of this world and so is the boss. Blow the facade right off of your squad. Little rappers, I love you, but you ain't shit till you got offers in Prague. Look that shit up, a book, nigga, pick that shit up. Expand your vocab, I'm giving out toe tags for no cash. Awesome, a long plus three seasons after. Please CC a rapper, tell him meet me. It's absolutely imperative that my heat speak to rappers. The problem with this game is this weak sea of rappers. I'm the answer on the low, I'm a cheat sheet for rappers. I came around AC to DC adapters. Plug talk, what I'm really saying is the same, but my niggas move cane like HBCU cappers. Whole town full of CC Sebastians. You think niggas getting fat, pitching crack? Not really. This is not the 80s, don't be silly. Now we push pills and sell heroin to Billy. Now Billy mama wants to judge the father in his addiction. How many black addicts that got caught up in the system? With no side stories on your primetime television, I can smell a blatant contradiction. Man, listen. Don't wanna fuck up my vibe, let's send it on a positive note. Come see me live, KOD, album of the year, undebatably. My cadence B, the greatest we've seen since the late MC, whose name was D. Notorious, Dreamville stacked like the Warriors. Winning back to back, next up the bet is my nigga Bosh. After that, Jitty Jit, that's a New York City kid, plus ATL. Me, I'm from the field, but I know them towns well. Before I had a deal, I was giving niggas hell. Now I'm giving niggas deals, and they giving niggas hell.